We're very thankful this morning to be among the living, amen. And God has been good to us, amen. God is good, not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm filled with joy. I love what I do. I love what I'm doing now. And don't come to me with nothing crazy because I don't even want to hear it. Only thing missing is my lovely wife, but everything else is beautiful. Amen. Brother Brooks is doing good. My schedule is going to be on the website, by the way, if you're following. You want people to come here as we, you know, with the traveling evangelism. My effort is try to save many souls we can. So invite your friends and loved ones wherever I am to come out. My effort is to baptize as many people Amen. As we can. Amen. Snatch them out of the fire. Amen. Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. Holland Heights. We're doing a great work. Yeah, yeah. So just wanted to give you that update on Brother Brooks. So you know what we're doing here with our effort to outreach. We're doing a great work. We're getting invited to some large platforms such as Polishing the Pulpit in Branson, Missouri. If you want to be in that area, I'll be on the stage there. That's the large stage for us with our national gospel call and all other things are getting us out there. With the efforts we're doing to save souls. So pray for me. Pray for our effort. We love your minister here. Take care of him. Leadership. All the brethren, unite and work together for the cause. Let's not forget that we are in a warfare. Our goal is to win, to make heaven our home. Amen. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're my VIP. Very important person to me. And that I was where you are one day. I was not a member of the church you can read about in the Bible. There's but one in there, and that's the Church of Christ. Only one in the Bible. Grew up in the Baptist church. Good people. But it's not in the book. Yeah, pray the sinner's prayer to be saved. That's what they told us. But that's not in the book. Everyone who was saved in the Bible obeyed the gospel. They heard about the good news of the cross. They believed it with all their heart, repented of their sins, confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. And then, Lord, they not joined the church. The Lord added them to the church. Amen. The Lord did that. He couldn't join the church in the Bible. Couldn't join it. The Lord added them to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. Amen. And them Christians sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. And somebody said, what about David? David wasn't a Christian. Was not one Christian in the Old Testament. There was no Christians. Called Christian first in Antioch. Jesus had to die. He had to die before there ever be a Christian. So don't go over there with David. That's Old Testament. He started a new way, a new day, a new plan of salvation. Had everything to do with the blood of his son, the cross of Calvary, where the Savior of the world will hang 6 hours for me and you. Yeah. Took him down and they buried him. He resurrected with all power in his hands. He gave the greatest commission to man that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen, amen somebody. Yeah, now you say, why are you doing that? That's the way you got to preach it these days. The devil is busy. Yeah, this day is my birthday, brother. Well, I'm 64. God gave me 64. 64. 3 score plus 4. Is that 364? I got this one. So far, I got the. Amen. I'm thankful. If you do what you want to do, don't nobody mess up my birthday. It's my birthday. And the day of the Lord, though, that's what this is all about. Right here. And this is a day. Not, we don't remember his birthday. It's not about Christmas. It's about his resurrection. That's why we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Now, if you're not drinking the blood of the New Testament every Sunday, you're not going to heaven. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, that's up to you. Take it up with God. Take it up. If you're not drinking the blood, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. He said, this you do. That's a direct command. Can't get no direct than this you do. Amen. I'm happy. But I'm telling you the truth. See, over time, we took the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday, but nobody in the Bible took the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday. It was the day of the resurrection. That's why we come to the building on Sunday. It was the first day of the week. That's when the disciples came together to break bread. That's why we take the communion. Jesus said, this you do. Now, I just gave you enough in the first 5 minutes to be saved and to know you lost. That's my intention. Well, what are you trying to say? There's one church, yes. Well, are you trying to say I got to get baptized to be saved? Yes. Are you trying to say there's only one church to be saved? Yes. Are you trying to say I'm supposed to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, I won't go to heaven? Yes. Any other questions? Yes, yes, yes. So here's where we are. Me and you on the day of judgment stand by each other. And you say, God, I didn't know. You're going to say, you're lying. You're lying. God, Brooks told you. You was there. I see right here on his birthday, he told you. That sounds pretty good right there, wouldn't it? On your record, my birthday, I told you the truth. You came here. You ain't no way out of it. You can't do nothing but get up and say, God, I didn't believe it. But that was your problem all along. Yeah, you might as well tell it. Your problem all alone, you wasn't a believer. You talk that talk. People talk that talk. Now, y'all better buckle your seatbelts up this morning for this sermon here. Yeah, buckle up. I'm just up front and not a feel-good thing. I'm not going to make you shout. Now, this one here is intended to make you think. Not a feel-good. Y'all ready? Let's go on a trip. Nefarious. I watched a movie called Nefarious about a demon-possessed man on death row. And the demon did the talking. Now, we don't deal with possession. The devil doesn't possess your body. That's not what it's about. It's about a perspective of the devil. And I thought, man, you know what? We always talk about God. We always talk about God's perspective. We don't want to hear hell. Well, we got hellfire sermon. Nobody want to talk about hell. But brothers, sisters, and friends, let me tell you that this devil is evil. As good as God is, the devil is an opposing victim, enemy of God. He's nefarious. He is from the Latin word evil, dark. And we delve into the perspective and we talk to you this morning from the devil's perspective of how he view God, how he view mankind, how he view sin, and how he view Jesus the Christ, and how this devil, that old serpent called Satan and the devil, who were cast out into the world to deceive us. And take away the one that God loves. And that is every one of us. You may stay quiet during this sermon. Maybe you should. Because that old serpent could be working through you. Y'all ready? This devil is evil. That Latin word, nefarious, dark, or wicked. He is diabolical. Big word to say, an enemy of God. He's not our friend. And maybe you got this fictitious picture of a dragon with a red tail and a spike on him. That devil wore a suit, articulate and pretty, with red lipstick, or perhaps the cleanest looking gentleman in this room. Don't y'all think he is out there? He is in here. Maybe sitting by you. Or maybe it's you. And y'all gonna stay with me, huh? Y'all all right. The devil is the ruler of the world. The devil's perspective of God, Satan sees God as the supreme authority. The devil is a believer. He believes in God. The devil believes and trembles. The devil is a believer, which tells me up front that believers just alone won't get you to heaven. He's a believer. But one who rebels against the will of God, he knows God's power and majesty, but he refuses to submit. God gave angelic creations the free will, like he gives us in Satan, as we will do. Upon his own will, disobeyed God and misled Miss Eve in the garden. He was a created being. Upon his creation, his choice was to disobey God and to do his own will. And he took any other angels with him. So he's not alone here. His perspective is that God is his enemy, and his best way to hurt his family, the ghosts who God loves, he wants to take their souls. He don't want anyone to do God's will. Him and God are both fathers, one with a big F and one with a little F, and we serve one or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, it's no straddling the fence. I don't care what America says or what you expect. The perspective is you're of your father, the devil, or the father, the God of heaven. No, that's hard to admit. You're a child of the devil. No one would say I'm satanic or I believe in Satan. But when you don't do God's will, you're doing the other father's will. And he know, do it. As long as I get you to do the devil say your will, doing your will is my will, because that's not God's will. Don't miss that what I just said. So no one would admit it. No one will admit it. No. We can't say hell. We can't say we're going to hell. We can't say we're serving the devil. You don't want to think like that. Talking to a gentleman on the phone today. He said, brother, what are you saying? I said, you heard me? Can we admit when we serve the devil? Or do we want to not admit it? I told you. I mean, I'm just saying. Don't squirm in your seat now. Just think about what I'm saying. Amen. Just think what I'm saying. And no sense to be spooked. His perspective of man, not like God. The devil views each one of us as one who's vulnerable, easily swayed to follow our own will, do what we want to do, go to the church we want to go to, worship like we want to worship, do what we want to do. His will. He know we are fallible creatures, vulnerable. He knows our weaknesses. He tempts us with his weapon, the tool called sin. He is a formidable enemy. He know the fight. He know he's in the fight, and he's in it to win. And let me drop this information on you. It's going to be more of them on his team than ours.
But my question is, are you one of his soldiers?
You wouldn't admit it because you all caught up in the deception. You don't want to call it what it T.I. It would behoove us to take the warning that Peter gave. 1 Peter 5, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that means enemy, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. The devil does it. The lion would never go after the strongest bull in the flock of the herds. He went to the weakest one to take him out one by one. And that's what he going to do at Holland Heights. Watch him. He going for the weakest flock of this congregation.
Take you down. Your adversary, he's not our friend. He's our enemy. Paul warns us to be careful about bragging about how good you are, how much you stand.
He said, let me tell you something Paul said in 1 Timothy, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to this. I want y'all to read this with me. Here's 1 Timothy chapter 10. Listen what he says here in verse 12. You got there for 1 Timothy 10, 12. You're about to stay with me this morning, son. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken but such as common to man. He going to use the common temptation to get us. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. That you may be able to deal with it. So the devil don't have so much power that he can stop you. But he has power if you think he can't stop you. Take heed lest you fall. You think you got this without coming to God? You're going to lose your soul. I'm telling you that now. You can't do it without him.
He said, well, this devil, his perspective I gave you about God, his perspective by all of us, none of us, ain't no bragging rights coming in this building. You know, you think Brother Brooks walked in here without a sin issue? You've been deceived. You think any man standing up in this pulpit wearing a cloth or walking around looking like he's holy, he's not dealing with sin? Don't you know that's a lie?
It's not one of us having sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ain't nobody got no bragging rights, brother. Sister, you ain't that holy, brother. Sister, you ain't that holy. Got no halo over your head. Every one of us need the blood. Got no bragging rights. We need to be drinking this blood every Sunday. That's the only hope we got.
Don't look up here at me like I got it all together. The only thing I got on the world is I've been to Jesus for the cleansing power.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what I got over the world. That's why on Sunday morning, I'm going to be in worship. I'm going to drink the blood of the Lamb, for this is the blood of the New Testament.
Amen.
Amen. There's some of them Church of Christ folk who think you don't have to worship no more. Just remember, I'm not saying every member of the Church of Christ is going to heaven. I'm not saying that at all, because your wife or your husband right next to you may not be a faithful member of the Lord's church. I'm not talking about them.
You can be in the Church of Christ and be your father, be the devil. But you can't be God's child without being in the Church of Christ. You say, bro, that's why I draw the line. Well, again, I mean, after you die and you get up there in God, and ain't nothing to it if you got your little cell phone, here's what I want you to do. Shoot me 281-750-2700. Shoot me a text back if you go before I do. Brother Brooks, ain't nothing to that thing, you know. Don't be talking about that, but, you know, ain't nothing to it.
Be like them two baseball players, you know. One time I give y'all a little something, because they all kind of got quiet. I'm going to give you a little something to laugh about real quick. Yeah. Two baseball players were talking about what happened after you died. They were talking about, hey, man, you know, man, ain't, man, what how we going to know, man, if anything happened after he died? Well, they got to talk about, well, we won't know until we die. One of them died and said, look here. One of them died, and he called the other one back. He said, hey, man, guess what? said, man, he's calling from the dead. Yeah. He said, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is they playing baseball down here. He said, what's the bad news? You up the bat.
Oh, Lord, we pray.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's your time. You coming down here with me. Yeah.
Anyway, y'all laughed a little bit, but let me get you back where I need you.
What is this devil's perspective of sin? To Satan, sin is the tool of destruction. He know it will separate us from God. He knows that the Bible teaches in Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hid his face. Watch it now. From you that he will not hear. There is no praying to God
when you got sin in your life. Might as well get up off your knee. Quit lying to yourself. Your prayers ain't going nowhere. The Bible just said that your sins separate you from God.
Amen. We want to believe God heard my prayer. Man, I was don't tell me God ain't heard my prayer. He said I was in the hospital. I came home there. Everybody was praying for me. It wasn't called your prayer. Somebody prayed for you probably, but it wasn't you. And by the way, you don't have to believe in God to come home from the hospital. Amen. That's just another chance of life. Amen. Not because you prayed. It just wasn't your appointed time. Satan is a sin. Sin, Satan uses this tool called sin. Because he know he delights in leading us astray by lies. Jesus said, you of your father, the devil. In John 8:44, and the lust plural of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and bold not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of liars.
Yeah. This rascal is a murderer.
He's trying to take all of us to hell. Right with him. Murder means spiritual death. It's not physical. He can't take your life. He takes your soul. It's the second death we have to worry about, the death of separation from God from forever. His goal is to murder us. To murder us.
Somebody asked Paul, what Paul said in Romans 6:15, what shall we say? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but God, but under grace? God forbid. In verse 16, he said, know you not to whom you yield yourself service to obey? His servant you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So Paul come back and say, you serve who you obey. If you're not obeying God, you are a servant of Satan. I know we don't want to hear that. Because that's bad news. But he preaches a dark gospel. There's no good news in the message of the liar. It's nothing good. It sounds good. Sounds real good. He's a liar. You don't want to admit you're worshiping Satan. He got you. That's why you ain't coming back this evening. That's why in the members of the Lord's church who are not faithful, because you are a child of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brother Brooke, what?
I know. We don't want it. See, that's what I'm saying. We don't want this perspective. Amen. We don't. We're conditioned. We're conditioned to focus on the good. And that's his will, church. Mm-hmm. That's the devil's will for all of us to stay focused on the good.
to feel good. That's why he got the churches of Christ tore up.
Yeah.
Entertainment and worship. It feels good. Beatboxing and bass micing and praise dancing and praise teams. Nothing God authorized. Hollow Heights, don't go there. Yeah.
When Hollow Heights go there, I won't come back. Yeah. Beware here in Houston. Some of the ones we think are sound are doing just the things. And members of the church are saying things like, why don't we do that? Because we understand nefarious.
Beware. Mm-hmm. Hollow Heights can go down the same path of destruction.
And some of your members here want you to go that direction. Mm. They're going to encourage it. Mm. You need to fellowship. We need to do more. With wrong? No, we stand against wrong. We don't participate. We're not active participants. We can't preach against something then participate in it. That's a hypocrite.
Right. Right.
Why you don't see Brother Brooks on a stage with somebody I preach against when I call no man doctor and then I'm up there with him?
Huh.
I don't believe you call a man doctor. A reverend. The Bible says, holy reverend is God's name. Psalm 111, verse 9. Matthew 23:7-9. Beware of those we call sound doctrine churches of Christ that are participating, actively involved in evil deeds.
You can't preach against something and participate.
The Bible says, 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If any man bring not this doctrine, he's a partaker of the evil deeds. I'm not going to a place of stuff they doing, stuff I preach against. No. You do it, but not me.
Amen. He said, brothers, my friends, they mine too. But I'm not a friend of the devil.
Amen.
I know what he's after. He's trying to get them and he's trying to get us. Now hear what people know where you want to say, they know where I stand in Houston. You don't see me on none of these stages. You want to know why they don't want to hear this? We want the good side.
Yeah.
Let's beatbox. Let's praise dance. Let's do all this other stuff. Let's entertain. Let's be like T.D. Jake. Let's be like Joel Osteen.
No,
let's not be like them.
Amen. Amen.
Let's not be like Creflo Counterfeit Dollar.
No.
Let's not be like them. You be like them. I'm not going to be like them. I said, well, brother, why you say this? This is stuff got to be said.
Amen.
It's the dark side. And some of us are falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Some of the same people who used to be at Hollow Heights are involved in that type of stuff. Right now, you know, like I said, it's my birthday, so don't come to me. If you got a problem, go to Bristol about that.
Call me on the 19th.
I'll take it up tomorrow, Bristol. You got it today. Don't mess my birthday up talking about you don't agree with me. Just go on and do whatever you want to do then.
The devil's perspective of Jesus, number four, is that he's the greatest adversary who defeated him on the cross. Y'all know that?
The devil tried him, you know. He tried to use all his power. Now, remember in Matthew 4, y'all know where he went to him. And he said, Jesus kept going back. He said, is it written? Jesus said, is it written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Every time that Satan quoted a scripture, Jesus quoted one. Mm. Satan misquoted a scripture, Jesus used the correct scripture. Don't you know the devil know more Bible than you ever know? The devil know the Bible, and the devil know how to twist it up, and the devil will twist it up, and he's going to twist it up. He tried it on Jesus. You know what? He offered Jesus stuff, and Jesus never said he didn't have the power to give. He just refused it. He told him, he said, look here. All things I will give thee if thou fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee behind me. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
and the devil leave him. Behold, angels came.
See, what did you, what did he say? What did he try? He tried to let Jesus, he tried to take Jesus out with using the Bible. Don't you think, don't you know that's what he's doing in the world today? These men walking around with these books called the Bible, saying anything they want to say, do whatever they want to do. But let's make sure we got the house clean here too. He can do the same thing right here. He can do it. Be where he went after Jesus to do his own will. And Jesus said in John 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, then listen to Jesus said in John 6 and verse 38. Listen to this real quick, real quick. I'm going to close. I'm getting to the end. You're getting to the end. Six, it's John 6 and what? 38. Y'all listen to this. Watch what I said. Now, he understood something that we need to understand this morning. He said, John 6, 38, he said, anytime you get there, you can read. I'll read it for you. That's my friend over there, but he's a little slow this morning. What do you say? 38.
For I came down from heaven.
That's Jesus talking.
Not to do my own will.
Now, Jesus understood the perspective. Then what I'm trying to get us to understand is our perspective must be about our own will. Mm-hmm. See, we can do whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. Brother Stryer can't tell me. No, Brother Stryer can't tell you what to do. Amen. Brother Brooke can't tell me what. I know that. You devil, I know that. You devil. You devil, you're a devil, man. Devil puffed up, man. Tell me what to do. You think you are? I know. You can do whatever you want to do, dude.
Amen.
What Jesus said? Hey, look, I didn't come to do what? My own will. I didn't do that.
The will of him that sent me.
But what?
The will of him that sent me.
Jesus come out and said, hey, look here. I know I can't do what I want to do in this world. Now, if Jesus couldn't do whatever he wanted to do, what makes us think? Let me look over here, because they act like they don't want to say, what makes us think? Maybe more devil over here than over here. I don't know. What makes us think this? Let me look at the, maybe some more devil over there than over here. What makes us think that if Jesus couldn't do what he wanted to do, that we can come up in here and do whatever we want to do? I just want to know that. I'm just saying. Man, I'm devil. Man, I'm just saying. What make us think we can just do what we want to do?
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm asking. If Jesus couldn't do whatever he wanted to do, but Terry, tell me, what make us think we can?
No.
We can't.
Okay.
But Terry Sharp, ain't he? Turn just say, we can't. I like overturn. That's a good dude right there. Now, look here. Jesus said there's only one will that's going to satisfy this thing. He said it's the Father's will. Y'all want me to finish this lesson? Y'all ready for me to quit, ain't you? Now, his perspective of Jesus was that. Now, and Satan opposes his perspective of salvation. He opposes salvation fiercely. He hates the fact that God gave us a means to be saved. He knows that he has no hope. Zero. There's no undoing what he did. He can't go back and get it right. And what he knows is his fate is our fate. If he get us to think like him, he understands that he's reserved. 2:4. God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them in the chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment. He's not going to judgment yet. That's why the devil that was in the men that were possessed, he said, "Where are you at, Jesus? What you doing? It's not the time. The time has not come." What they're saying is that there's going to be a day when the devil understands that Judge Jude 1:6, where he's held right now, reserved until judgment. Him and his angels got to go at the end, though. devil said, my time hadn't come yet, is it? He want more time like he did with Job. You remember that?
Yeah.
He just want more time to come into our homes. Let me give you his perspective. He's a dark gospel preacher. You know what he's saying, Brother Bruce? Paul saying 2 Corinthians 4:3. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God, little g, of this world have blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel, his gospel is dark. Good news, any church would do. Good news, as long as your heart is right. Good news, God is not like that. Good news, God loves you. And good news, you don't have to be baptized. Good news, you can just pray the sinner's prayer. Good news, it don't matter what church you go to. Good news, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. Good news, you don't have to take it but once a month. Good news, good news, good news. Dark gospel, dark, dark, dark. Lies and hypocrisy. Seductive spirits. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them of laws. Paul told Timothy, if the spirit speaketh expressly at a louder time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having a conscience seared with a hot iron. It forbidding to marry. Telling men they kids don't have to marry and you can just shack. Dark gospel. Common law. Dark gospel. Let's try. Why buy the milk? Why buy the cow if the milk's free? Seductive spirits want us to believe we can forbid to marry, or you can marry a man, or a man can marry another man, and a woman can marry another man, or another woman. Transsexuality, transgender, the devil. Understand that God made man upright. Mm-hmm. He made male for female. Mm-hmm. And he is turning your mind over as a reprobated mind. Pursue nefarious, the dark gospel is that God didn't make you a girl. The dark gospel that you can be what you want to be. Your freedom to be what you want to be is your will. His perspective, number 5, 6, 7. Man is a perspective that man, all of us, are ignorant of the fight. You know, if you go on a battlefield and you don't know who the enemy is, you're going to get killed. He got us, he got America crazy about, we don't know what we think everybody's so into Trump and Biden. Y'all understand? Some of you are I'm going to say it. You're too much of an elephant or you're too much of a donkey. And you needed more of a lamb. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God. Don't you know all them people in that White House need the Lamb? All of them. Every one of them. And he got y'all hating because of a D or aura. No. You can't stand the aura because you're a D. You hate him. I've heard people say, somebody need to take Trump out. No, we need to save him.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus say, take Pilate out. I know you politicians ain't liking me now. Yeah, you going to your poll, ain't you? Be careful what you stamp, nefarious. Dark gospel. Got folk hating people because of political positions. Relationships are stored, destroyed. We don't know who we fighting against. My fight ain't against you. Your fight ain't against me. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My fight ain't me and this man at this congregation. Right. It ain't me against him.
Right.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
My fight ain't against you. You mad at me about what?
Huh.
I just don't like it. Your problem is that you don't know your fight ain't with Brooks. I'm not your problem. Your problem.
problem, he says, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Your fight is against nefarious, the evil one, the dark one, the man. I'm talking about that old devil called Satan. And he's in homes. He got a wife against a husband. And y'all marriage is going to be tore up from the flow up. Because on nefarious, the evil one got a dark gospel message to you. God made man for a woman and woman for man. And God loved man and God loved the woman. And Christ is the head of the church. And he said, Christ, husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And watch your husband while you so bold that you the man. He gave himself it. He died for his wife.
Some of y'all done let the devil come into your house. Older folk at elder age sleep in a different room, can't stand each other. Ain't nothing but the devil. Amen. Why don't you go back and get in the bedroom together where you started at? Mm-mm. Oh Lord, we pray. Devils. Which one of y'all the devil in the marriage?
I just don't. I ain't ask you that. I ask you, which one of y'all the devil? Well, look in the mirror then. Best thing you can do. Because you know a problem from this sermon. You're the one I'm talking to. Anybody who kick against right, you kick against good, you for evil.
Who the devil in the marriage?
Or maybe it's both of y'all. Because neither one of you act like you got any sense when it comes to do what's right. You're fussing with each other. You're fighting with each other. When y'all going to bring God in and let him settle the matter? Amen. Then you walk around here talking about you believe. Halfway believers. You can't get to heaven being a halfway believer. Romans 10:17 said faith come by hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 said without faith it's impossible to please him. You can't be 99.9% sure. So I'm 99.9% sure. What do you mean? That's not faith. That's not belief.
Which one of y'all the devil in that marriage?
Is it both of you?
I'm a member of the church. God, that don't mean you ain't the devil.
You act like a devil. You do whatever you want to do. You can't do whatever you want to do, living the kind of way you want to live in front of that woman or that man. You can't be the other spouse living for the devil and then expect her to come to church with you. She see through all that hypocrisy. It's the devil using you. What do you got? Three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Brother, stand up and say you are not the man of God you need to be. That's the beginning of fixing your marriage. Sister, stand up and say it.
You don't believe in the Bible? Just tell the man. Tell the woman you don't believe in it. At least he know what he's dealing with. Fake people. I don't see how nobody can sleep on this sermon, but y'all might be able to. Let me give y'all the close. His perspective of the cross is just a symbol. It's the ultimate symbol of Satan's defeat. Y'all remember Judas wouldn't kiss him, right? He thought he was doing something right by sending him to the cross. But it turned out he figured out real quick it was a mistake was ever letting him get beat. The mistake was ever sending him before the sixth trial. Satan's mistake was Judas. Judah was in the room with the other apostle. Jesus knew he had the devil in him. He left there, and the devil, because of the devil, he went and kissed Jesus, thinking that he'd get him killed and it would be to his benefit. The devil soon realized Jesus' death on the cross wasn't to his benefit. He knew that was the biggest mistake they made, sending Judas to Jesus. Y'all missed it. Because when he sent him to Jesus, see, Jesus had to go through the six illegal trials at night. He had to get beat with the whip, and it would take the blood from the whip to save the sinner from his sins. And the devil realized that the blood, without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22, and they started looking. When they beat him with the whip, the blood started to shed. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, the blood started to shed. Can you see the blood coming down his head? The blood of the New Testament was shed. The Bible
body had stripes all over it. Isaiah said, who gonna believe the report? The devil didn't believe the report. He didn't believe the report. He tried to send him to the cross, thinking he was gonna take him out. But then he started shedding blood. Then blood. That's why John said, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He seen it. It was gonna take the blood. And he beat him with that whip. Blood started flowing out about his vest, was dipped in blood. And then he put the tree of the cross on his back and went up to Calvary, and they drove nails in hand, blood still flowing. And then he was on that cross. It was the blood on the cross. You don't have to believe it. No, you don't believe it because you're an unbeliever. You don't believe that. Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
Amen.
The devil's mistake was the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood of the cross. See, the perspective of Colossians 2:15, he took out the Old Testament out of the way, nailed it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made sure of them openly triumphing over them. It was at the cross,
where I first saw the light. It was the shedding of the blood. It was on a hill far away, stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It was on that cross where that blood was shedded, brothers and sisters.
Let me tell you something. You got to get washed in that blood to get away from nefarious. That's baptism. The blood purchased the church, which is his bride, his wife. And every man here going to marry a wife, she going to wear your name, ain't she? Jesus purchased the church. And the Church of Christ ain't the name. The Church of Christ is a descriptive phrase that knows who owns her. Like Tom Brooks owns Sharon Brooks. Ha!
Watch it. I just gave y'all some good stuff right now. Yeah, she wore my name. She didn't wear Stroud. You don't have every brother, every sister Stroud stand up.
Ain't but one Stroud going to stand up. Ain't one right there. Amen. And he called her mom. Everyone ain't here going to say, oh, Stroud is a Stroud, tend to Stroud of your choice. But Stroud going to show y'all something about you don't understand one wife? Bro Stroud might look like he nice and all that. You go try him when he comes to sister mom. Amen. Wall of light. I'm going to close this thing out because I know I'm going a little longer than no problem. But that's all right. I don't come once a month. Every one of his names describes his perspective. Listen to all the names, his perspective and position. I'm close for real. And his name, he's known as Old Satan, Matthew 12:26. That word, that name means adversary. He's known as the devil. That name means slanderer. He's known as the tempter. That means he brings temptation. He's known as the wicked one. He's the wickedest one of this world. He's known as Beelzebub. That means he's the lord of dung and filth. He's known as Belial. He's reckless. He will destroy homes and families and relationships and nations like the United States and the world and relationships. And he's destroying churches. He got a church on every corner. With wearing different names, 10 different things, and using Jesus like a big piece of candy. Put Jesus on the sign and people will flock in. Tell them whatever they want to tell them in the building. Just used him, using Jesus. He's the Lord of dung. He's filthy. He's reckless. He got people going to hear church, there, church, everywhere, church, church. He like old McDonald. He's the prince of devils. He's high ranking. Don't play with this guy. He's a chief of devil. Luke 11:15. He's the strong man. He's stronger than you are without God. He's the prince of the world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the serpent. He injects a deadly poison of sin. He's the great dragon. He has destructive powers. He's Abaddon, meaning he's a destroyer. He will destroy churches. He will destroy lives. He will destroy nations. He will destroy mankind if he could. His mission as Apollyon is to destroy us. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's the king of the bottomless pit. He's the ruler of this world. He's the ruler of darkness. The Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 13:38, the field is the world and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. That old devil called the serpent, to call the devil and Satan, deceived the whole world. He was cast out. He down here with us. Amen. I'm gonna get in my little Red Canyon and head back to Hempfield.
but not before I give you good news. Out of all that dark news, there's good news.
Amen.
I want y'all to hear me now, please. Look here. I had a little brother who got killed in a car wreck. Didn't never hear this good news. My whole mission for the last 38 years is to tell everybody I meet the good news. That you don't have to die in your sins.
Amen.
What bothered me is nobody told him. The good news is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him, quote it with me. For God so loved the world, quote it with me. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him
should.
If you said shall, the devil, nefarious, told Eve she shall not. In John 3:16, America tells us we shall be saved. If you said shall, it doesn't say shall. It says should. And you should not be, if you have listened to me this morning. You know what side you're on. Have a paradigm shift. Raise above your view that you're okay. And know I need, what is the good news, Brother Brooke? That God loved you. He don't want you to die like that. His son came and died too on that cross. The good news is on the cross, he shed his blood. Yeah. And when they took him down from the cross, he came up with the good news. He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. I got beautiful feet, not because of these good looking shoes. But the message I brought in is beautiful. It's the gospel of peace. It can bring you at peace with God, peace from God. If you're disturbed by what I said, that means you're not at peace with God. That's what the problem is. Don't look at me like that. Don't over there look at me like that, man. You are. And we got the devil in John, Acts 19. He went up, the man exercised the devil. Anyway, I'll give you this one real quick. And he went up that devil door talking to the man. He said, now, he said, what is it? He said, Jesus, I know. He said, Paul, I know. Then he said, who are you? He said, who are you? See, now he know that those who have obeyed God, he knew Paul, he knew Jesus. But he was asking that guy, he said, who are you? Now, I don't know nothing about you. But you know, I need to be worried about the one who have Jesus in life. I ain't worried about you because you already mine.
Amen.
You got that? Well, so what's the good news, bro? That when he got up, he gave this commission. He said, go in the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Tell them I died. Tell them I shed the blood. Tell them to believe it. If they believe it, baptize. Do we have some water here?
Yes.
You got some clothes?
Yes.
Y'all got somebody that can baptize?
Yes.
Got somewhere they can put their hair in and put it back on? Okay, yeah, all that. No excuse to leave here lost. If you believe, you can be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. And then the Lord will add you to the church of Christ. That's what you have to do.
Amen.
And then you live faithful. What do you mean? If you fall, get up. If you sin, get up. Say, Lord, forgive me. But you got to get started.
Yes.
And the way you get started, be baptized for the remission of your sin. And then the Lord will put you in the church.
Yeah.
My sister, my oldest sister, y'all know Charlie. She was here, right? A grandson is here today with me. I'm so happy to see him. Don't worry, you look like a handsome man like me. Look like me. Look at him. Look at him. That's Charlie. Now, Charlie, she was opposed. She was opposed to all of us Church of Christ folk coming home. And she said, I didn't got nothing to do with that Church of Christ. I'm a Baptist. I said, oh, yeah, all right. She said, I just kept loving my sister. Then one day she came and she said, tell me, I just don't understand the difference. I took a little piece of paper and I showed about that death separation by God. I said, it ain't got nothing to do with the people, Charlie. It's what we did to be saved. She said, oh, I see it. Mm-hmm. One of the faithful members of our family was Charlie Lewis.
Hey. Yes,
the most faithful sister out of all my sisters. And you can tell them I said it.
That's all right.
Because they going to hear this, sir. They know it. Mm-hmm. Charlie died. A faithful member of this congregation. Y'all know it.
Amen.
She was faithful.
Yeah.
To the day she died. That was my sister. I told her the same thing I told y'all. That you got to, Charlie, you got to hear it. You got to believe it, Charlie. You got to repent of your sins. You cannot take the Lord's Supper every Sunday and keep living like that. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. You got to be baptized for the remission of sin. She said, I see it. That was a Saturday. And my mama's table with a piece of paper, I showed her the difference. That next Sunday, that next morning, I preached like I was doing here, and I gave the invitation, said, come, as together we stand and sing, and Charlie come walking down the aisle. Mama cried, Daddy cried, Margaret cried, Marlene cried, all of us cried because we never thought, nobody thought Charlie was going to walk down the aisle, but she did. Never give up on your family. Yeah. Never give up on your family. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that right now, because there come a day when everybody want to know the truth, and she obeyed the gospel. I tell that story everywhere I go. I'm so thankful that one of the greatest works I've ever done is getting my family to the Church of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Greatest work I ever done is getting my family. If a man don't try to save his family, he's not much of a family man.
Amen.
No, you're not much of a family man. You're not much of a family man. If you leave your family lost in a burning house, you're not much of a family man. What you going to do with this sermon? You got a song ready? Yeah. Because he lived. Did you change? You told him that you changed?
Yes, sir.
Well, good. Well, the next time ask me which one. You get right here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. If you're on this side, and you right here, and you if you feel like you need to get right with God, what I want you to do is come down here. If you want to get baptized, I want you to come down here and be me. If you want to get baptized, first person, you want to get, we'll come down. We're gonna, I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? We're gonna baptize you this morning.
Amen.
You're gonna leave a Christian if we want. Now, if you're here today and you're going through some stuff, maybe that old devil's in your house, he's trying to trap you home. You may need to come on down here and just say, hey, you know what, brother says, I have sinned. You remember church, if you need prayer? How many of y'all need prayer?
Amen.
Anybody need prayer? Let me tell you something.
Amen.
Let me say this to y'all. One thing I'm seeing on the road is the Church of Christ is falling away. Many people are trying to come back home. Come back home. Watch what numbers in the book. They come in the 20s and 30s responding to the messages. What are they saying? They're trying to come home. You want to come home? Because he lives, we can face tomorrow, y'all. Well, so I'm going to ask y'all to do me a favor. Can y'all pray for Brother Brooks?
Yeah, man.
Who asked for prayer first?
Brother Brooks.
Tommy Brooks. If the man that prayed don't call my name, I'm going to call him back up here. But I asked first. Anybody else want to stand with me and say you need some prayer right now? In your life, in your family, I want you to come stand up here by me. If there's a man who needs God and you need to be able to be a husband, stand up. If there's a man in this church who need to get his right way with this church, you know, if you need to get right with this church, you come up here and say, brothers, I have sinned. I need y'all to pray for me. Anybody here in sin? Anybody here need forgiveness? Anybody here need prayer? After living 64 years, I pray, God, give me 64 more. I'm thankful. Who gonna come? As together we stand and sing. Come, if you need prayer, come stand with me. You want to get baptized, you come up here with me. You just need to be stronger, you come to me. As together we stand and sing this song of encouragement. Come on.
God sent his son.
God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid to come. Come
they
on. Don't let
called
him win.
Him
God bless
Jesus.
You. Come on. Don't let him win. The devil wants, he wants you to stay right with him. Don't you let him do it. Don't you let him. God bless you. Come on. Don't let him do it. God bless you. God bless you. They're coming. People are coming. They coming to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you as you come. God bless you. Come on home. Come back to Jesus.
To my
come to him. 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 Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Come unto me. Come. Come to me, all you that labor. I give you rest. I give you rest. Come on to him. God bless you. Come on, come on. Come on. Come to him. Come to Jesus.
I can face
come to Jesus.
Tomorrow.
Come to Jesus. Come on to him. God bless you. Come on to him. You're at the back. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come to him. Come to
all
Jesus.
Fear is
come on to him. Come on.
Because
I know. God bless you. I know he holds your future. God bless you as you come. Come on to him. Come on.
And life is worth
the living just.
Because he lives.
One last appeal, one last hill. A boy was pushing his brother down the sidewalk. He was in a wheelchair, tipped over in the ditch. And he couldn't get his brother out that ditch because he was too heavy. So that boy started throwing rocks at cars, trying to stop somebody, come help him with his little brother. He was trying to get him up. He wanted to so bad. And then he couldn't. And the only thing left was no more rock. There was a brick down there. He took that brick, and he picked it up. And he seen a black brand-new Jaguar coming. And he aimed carefully at that Jaguar, and he threw that brick and hit that Jaguar in the side. And that Jaguar driver stopped. And he backed up. He said, "Son, what are you doing? Hitting my new car with that brick." He said, "Sir, my brother, I couldn't get him up. And I've been throwing rocks all day. And nobody would stop. And I had to throw a brick." See, God been throwing rocks at you in your life. He been throwing rocks, and you ain't seen it yet. But it's a brick coming. Just like my little brother in that coffin was a brick, and it stopped me in my tracks.
Amen.
And don't you play with God now, because he can throw a brick that'll stop you in your tracks. Here you are. The devil wants you to ignore the rocks. He done sent you diabetes and dialysis. He done sent you cancer. He done sent you trouble. He done sent you bad test results. He done sent you trouble in your marriage. He done sent you trouble on the job. He been throwing rocks at you all the time. And here you are still standing there. You still standing. What do you say? What do we do about this? Well, do I mean, y'all like second chances. You like second chance? I do. Boy, I love second. You like second chance? Y'all, I like second chance. I mean, I do. Y'all, you like second chance, Nate? Me too. But I don't believe in second chances. No. You know what, man? Here's why I say that. You know how time. You know how many times God done gave us chances over and over and over. But guess what, man? It might be the last one here. It might be because the Pharisees got somebody on the pew. You still sitting there, and God is saying, "Okay, this is your last chance." What if it's your last chance? What do you say? Well, Brother Brooks, I can come just as I am. I said, "Well, yeah. You mean what you mean? Yeah, just like I am. Can I come just like I am? I ain't dressed right, just like you are.
Amen.
I ain't looking right. My hair ain't come just like you are. But brother, I've been in prison. Come like you are. Just like you said, brother, I've been out in that world. Come just like you are. Just like you. I've been an addict. I'm an addict. I've been drugged. I got pregnant before without a husband. Come like you. Come.
Amen.
What do you say?
Come on.
Come as you. Yeah. Just as I am. One verse. It's the only chance I'm giving. I want one verse. You understand one? just as I am. This is the last verse.
Just
as I'm trying to see if there's somebody
on
this.
I am without.
One person.
But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come.
I'm looking for that one person.
The one.